What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Friday, November 30th, 2018, end of the month tomorrow, of course, being December 1st here. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. We have a lot to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room. And for those of you who have been asking, Claire is doing a little bit better, but we decided it was probably best that she not try and do the show today. So she's in the other room resting, and I'll be peeking in on her during the commercial breaks here. So let's get right on into it. Obviously, the big story is this massive earthquake they've had up there in Alaska. And apparently they had, I guess it's expired, a tsunami warning in effect for the Cook Inlet area, southern Kenai Peninsula in Alaska. And originally it was reported as a 6.6. Then the USGS said it was a 7.0. I saw one televised report that said it was a 7.2. But whatever the number actually is, massive, massive amounts of damage. As a safety precaution, they have shut down the Trans-Alaska pipeline, the big oil pipeline. They're sending out teams to inspect it, make sure that it wasn't damaged. It's not leaking oil. Apparently, the Seward Highway has collapsed. It's closed down. Pretty much the entire city of Anchorage is on a shelter in place because everything's just messed up. The only thing that's reopened so far is the airport. And even then, they're saying if you have plans to fly in or out in the next couple of days, call your carriers. So this was a bad one. And I empathize because I've been through a couple of bad quakes along with Claire here. So our thoughts are with those people up in Alaska. It's going to be a while before we know really how bad it is, because a lot of the areas of Alaska, they don't even have roads. Alaska's held together by bush pilots. And it may be a long time, you know, and along the coast they use boats. So we may not find out just how bad it is for a little while here. All right. The other big news, of course, is the G20 is underway. And after days of flipping back and forth over this whole issue, it finally came down that Trump and Putin did not hold a brief impromptu meeting at the G20. They basically just walked past each other. And I have to tell you, the fact that Trump did flip-flop on this so many times is sending a very bad signal. It's telling us that he is, in fact, a weak leader. He's too easily swayed by his own staff. And the White House staff is running the country. And we didn't vote for those people here. So, all righty. Now, Putin, on the other hand, did meet with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. And it was apparently energetic, and there was, high-fiving and, you know, just really having a good time about that. So what's going on here? Well, maybe Putin is getting ready to come up with an oil deal with bin Salman to form a new cartel, one that would completely negate the influence of the U.S. dollar. Because remember, that's the whole reason for OPEC to exist. It goes back to the petrol. Part of the obligation of OPEC is they will sell their oil only for U.S. dollars, invest them in the U.S. economy. And right now, Saudi Arabia is facing a mutiny among the other OPEC members who are now objecting to excessive and problematic U.S. influence. So if there is a deal between Putin and Mohammed bin Salman, along with the Russian and Saudi energy ministers, they could actually dictate the course of global oil prices for the foreseeable future. And for the American oil industry, which is looking at $50 a barrel crude and thinking about getting into another line of work, that would be a bad thing. Now, behind all of this Saudi-Russia talks are suspicions Saudi Arabia has been accelerating production of oil beyond the cuts adopted by OPEC in November of 2016 to placate President Trump. And they may well be doing that. And if he is, that would certainly be a motive for, shall we say, the CIA to gin up this whole Khashoggi business in an effort to get Mohammed bin Salman out of power. Now, the other big event that is coming up, of course, is this dinner meeting between Donald Trump and China's President Xi Jinping. And Goldman Sachs analysts are out there saying, don't expect too much, that the most likely outcome is going to be more escalation of the tariff wars. And it would be nice to see something come out of it, something positive. But the analysts are saying, no, it doesn't really look like it's going to come that way here. All right, we're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network here. A couple of side issues about the G20. Apparently, when France's President Macron arrived at the airport, there was nobody there to meet him officially. So the media shot a video of him shaking hands with the airport staff. Oh, how far Macron's star has fallen. Meanwhile, part of the issue may be the friction building between France and Japan over the Renault-Nissan scandal. And that's being fueled by the recent arrest of former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn over suspected financial misconduct. And it's put the 19-year alliance between the French and Japanese automotive giants under severe strain. Now, LSE Palace has confirmed that Macron and Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe will meet today to discuss the Ghosn case. See what's going to come on out of that. Angela Merkel, of course, is a latecomer to the G20, and it turns out the problems with her aircraft were a little more serious than originally reported. About an hour after taking off on her way to Argentina, and while her plane was flying over the Netherlands, the entire communication system broke down. And that forced the crew to divert over to Cologne and to communicate with the ground using an onboard satellite phone. So that is pretty serious there. And for you fans of Boeing, this was an Airbus. All right. The other big story that's still out there brewing is the Kerch Straits and what is going to happen. And again, for those of you who are a little late to the table, this is something that happened last Sunday when three Ukrainian naval vessels heading from the Black Sea to the Azov Sea tried to pass through the strait without obtaining permission from Russia, which means they illegally crossed the country's sea border. Now, the European Council President Donald Tusk has said today he was absolutely sure the European Union leaders would roll out more sanctions against Russia due to Moscow's response to Ukraine's naval activity in the Kerch Strait. Even though Ukraine clearly staged the provocation here. Now, frankly, I view these tensions as very dangerous. If the rhetoric could ratchet down, Russia could return the ships and everything would settle out. But it just keeps going up. And Tusk is out there saying that the EU is united in its support of Ukrainian sovereignty and territorial integrity, which means this is all about Crimea again. Now, a close senior political ally of German Chancellor Angela Merkel, in an interview in Reuters, said that the European Union and the United States should consider banning all Russian ships that originate from the Sea of Azov from entering any European Union and U.S. ports. This is a German conservative, Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer, who was said to be most likely to succeed Merkel as leader of the Christian Democratic Union. And one answer could be to stop Russian ships coming from the region from entering European U.S. Sorry, that paragraph got repeated twice here. But basically, there is an issue with that. What he's talking about is a naval blockade. And a naval blockade is an act of war. So I think they're going to force a confrontation, and the issue once again is going to be Crimea. There have been people in the EU and the United States saying that the U.S. should just go ahead and bomb that bridge that Russia built over the Kerch Straits to Crimea. Just take it out completely. So apparently, President Poroshenko is all over Ukrainian television saying the threat of full-scale war with Russia could be imminent. And he's trying to send a signal to NATO. Come on in on this thing. Poroshenko knows he cannot take on Russia all by himself. He's had his hands full just trying to deal with the Donbass. All righty. Great Britain is getting ready to send Marines and a warship to Ukraine, quote, for the sake of democracy. Because, you know, when the people of Crimea vote to leave Ukraine, well, we can't tolerate that. That's, well, yes, it's democracy, but we still can't tolerate that. It's like a catchphrase. Whatever you do, you're going to bomb somebody, you're going to send your ships, Marines, everything. Oh, we're doing it for democracy. Really? How come we can't make up our own minds about these things? If you support democracy, how about let the ordinary people of Great Britain vote on whether they want to get into another war, this one potentially with Russia? So, anyway, Defense Secretary Gavin Williams came on out and said, as long as Ukraine faces Russian hostilities, it will find a steadfast partner in the United Kingdom. The only problem with that, of course, is it's Ukraine that is the hostile party here. It's Ukraine that is making war on Eastern Ukraine. It is Ukraine that basically sailed into Russia's territorial waters without their permission and then refused a lawful order to stop. Now, Poroshenko is upping the ante, claiming that he has photographs of Russian tanks lining up along the border with Ukraine. Now, we've been through this once before. When Poroshenko first came to power, I mean, he's been screaming about imminent Russian invasion ever since he had that coup d'etat backed by the United States. And every time he's shown photos, they turn out to be the inevitable blurry black and white, can't really see what's in there, while the talking heads say, trust us, that's a Russian tank. And remember, there was that one time when Ukraine bought these totally junked up, useless Russian tanks and brought them back into Ukraine by a very circuitous rail route. And at the time, it was suggested that what Poroshenko was going to do was to take these tanks, give them a new paint job, make them look like their current Soviet tanks, take them out to the border and blow them up and say, oh, Russia attacked, the war is on. Now, it is important to remember that Ukraine, back when it was all buddy-buddy with the Soviet Union, ran one of the major repair and storage facilities for Soviet tanks. And they've got a lot of them. Don't know if they're all working. But he's got the set pieces he needs to try and stage something. So we need to keep that in our mind here. And Ukraine is now banning all Russian men from entering the country to express his displeasure. So anyway, Pat Buchanan wrote an article a couple of days ago, and we did mention it, but it bears mentioning again. Is Putin really the provocateur in the Kerch crisis? No, of course he isn't. Ukraine is. Ukraine just sailed right on in to Russian territorial waters without asking permission. There's a formal process there. when you go into other people's territorial waters. In the case of Russia, you apply for permission to go through the strait 48 hours in advance. And then 24 hours in advance, you reconfirm that you're going to do that. And that way, all the harbor masters, people who are keeping an eye on the traffic through the strait, they know who's there. Avoid collisions. Just manage it. All straits and canals operate the same way. It's like being in an aircraft. You keep the tower informed of where you are. So anyway, Pat Buchanan is out there, and he's basically saying that the issue is that Ukraine wants Crimea back, and the U.S. wants Ukraine to have Crimea back, because that would deny Russia having a warm water seaport. It is an area of major strategic significance for naval combat, certainly within the Mediterranean itself and projecting power out into the North Atlantic. Is that worth going to war for? I don't think so, but I'm not calling the shots here. Paul Craig Roberts, on the other hand, came out with an article with a very good observation, saying that Russia is disadvantaged by her belief that the West is governed by law. And boy, has he nailed that one right, especially here in the United States of America. Our government has gone totally outlaw. It's gone totally rogue. Former German foreign minister came out and said exactly the same thing. The United States is a rogue nuclear nation. And again, Paul Craig Roberts points out, it was these Ukrainian military ships violated the Russian restrictions in the Sea of Azov and Articles 19 and 21 of the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea. Paul Craig Roberts is of the opinion that Washington was behind this and that Ukraine would not undertake such a provocation on its own. And I tend to agree with him, because there was this story about, I think it was 4 weeks ago, on how Pentagon officials some State Department officials had gone to Ukraine for a meeting with Poroshenko. And the story did say that the issue of the Azov Sea was on the agenda. So anyway. Get on back here. Donald Trump has come on out. And again, he's flip-flopped. It was only a few days ago he was saying, I want to get out of the Middle East. The only reason to stay is Israel. Well, again, it's different. Now he's saying that all of his experts all say that the U.S. troops need to stay in Afghanistan. Now, maybe his experts are just the people who run that oil pipeline, and the drug lords, because we're not doing very well there. We're not doing well at all. Back at the end of 2001, the Taliban were all but eradicated from Afghanistan. And today they're back in control of the majority of the territory. They're just wearing the United States down. The United States fell into the same trap as other empires that went into Afghanistan, like Great Britain and the Soviet Union. And as I've mentioned before, the last military commander to totally conquer and hold Afghanistan was Alexander the Great, and he only kept it for 3 years. There's a reason it's called the Graveyard of Empires. And I'm sure Putin is laughing his head off that the U.S. fell into this. Meanwhile, the oil is flowing at below market transit rates. And the poppies are blooming. Poppies, poppies, poppies. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we're still watching the news coverage of that horrible quake up there in Anchorage. And again, it's going to be a while before we find out just how bad it really was. Okay, so we're talking about wars. And Trump is out there now saying that all of the experts, you know, the experts, the ones that you're supposed to just listen to without question, are all saying the U.S. troops need to stay in Afghanistan. I think we've been there long enough. We've been there 17 years. We haven't really achieved much of anything except to put in a puppet government and a pipeline and grab the opium. That's it. I think probably most Americans are going to say it's not worth it. Let's buy the poppies. Let's pay the full price for the pipeline right away. That's what really started the whole war in Afghanistan. The plans to go into Afghanistan existed long before 9/11 happened. 9/11 was just to sell it to you. Oh, look what Afghanistan has done. We must give them what for? Followed by Iraq. You know, we were wrong. Afghanistan didn't do 9/11. Iraq did. Well, those Iraqi people, we must give them what for? And I'm sure at some point they're going to say, you know, it might have actually been Iran. that did 9/11. Anyway, over in Syria, there's still a tremendous amount of confusion regarding exactly what happened over the Al-Kiswa district south of Damascus. And at this point, the targets are being described as unidentified aerial objects. Apparently, wherever the debris came down, they can't get at it or they can't find it. A lot of open territory there. It would take a while to search, you know. Israel is still insisting that they did not lose a warplane, and the Syrian forces seem to be backing off of that. So, again. Now, here's where things are getting a little sticky and why Israel may have launched the attack. Oh, by the way, there's one more little fact. Apparently, the S-300 missiles were not used during that attack. I guess they're still training up or something, but these cruise missiles that were intercepted were done with Syria's existing air defense system. So the reason Israel may be willing to risk their planes, because Israel had no way of knowing the S-300 wasn't going to be used, because Netanyahu is getting himself painted into a corner. And for most of his time in office, he's got a very strong ruling coalition. And he could get whatever wars he wanted. And now Netanyahu's once stable coalition is in trouble. Now, it all began with the resignation of the country's extremist defense minister, Avigdor Lieberman, who quit his post 2 days after the Gaza attack in protest over what he saw as Israel's surrender to the Palestinian resistance. So now Netanyahu's coalition is hanging by a thread. He's got the support of only 61 members in the Knesset. That's a margin of one. One wrong move, and Netanyahu could find himself forced into a snap general election, which is something he does not want to have to do right now. Okay, Netanyahu. And this strikes me as a really sick thing to campaign on for the coming elections. But in Israel, killing Palestinians is good politics here. And so he's angling to institute capital punishment for Palestinians just in time for the elections. And basically, he's basing this on how last Sunday, five Palestinian citizens in Al-Qadar village south of Bethlehem were detained by Israeli occupying forces without charges leveled against them, which is common enough. But now, on top of the violent and indiscriminate means of detaining Palestinians, there may be even more reason besides Israel's contempt for due process to fear for the prisoners' fates. If Netanyahu gets his way, Israel will be able to add among its repertoire of an unwritten constitution and ethno-nationalist basic laws the right to put Palestinians to death. Apparently, just because. Over at the Israel Supreme Court, they've issued a new ruling that gives backing to the increased use of torture, or as they like to call it, enhanced interrogation methods. This is the second such ruling in the last year, and a number of human rights groups have documented routine use of torture by Israeli forces, although the practice... We have to take a break commercial. Got a caller on the line, and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go right to the telephones to Mark in North Carolina. Aloha, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, I got a suggestion. I think we ought to, you know, people who are really concerned about what's going on in the world and peace and all that should consider trying to convince Rand Paul maybe to team up with Cynthia McKinney and run third-party peace party for 2020. This stuff's got to stop before we get ourselves in a nuclear war. You know, Trump, is too stupid, I think, to understand what he's getting into. Now he's listening to these European countries that started World War One and started World War Two. You got Britain, Germany, and France. They're the ones with the loudest mouth now towards Russia. Russia could squash them like they do an ant, you know. And yet they're ready to, like Theresa May is probably using Russia as the big bad ogre because yes. She still doesn't trying to avoid Brexit. You know, and the Germans now, they're making that, of all people, shouldn't be making any kind of noise. Personally, I believe that Russia, when it finally did disband the Soviet Union, should have at least insisted that they keep a corridor open, continue to occupy East Germany, because these people, they get a little bit of power and they start getting, you know, they start feeling the roads. They start thinking, I guess, they can conquer things again. So they should, you know, they should have learned after World War II.
What they're trying to do is expand their territory and their wealth slowly and stealthily. And the idea is it's a game of brinksmanship. When it breaks into actual open war, it means somebody failed miserably to keep things under control. Now, when the Soviet Union broke up and Germany reunified, NATO did promise that they would not extend their border any further than the eastern edge of Germany. But of course, almost immediately they started, you know, grabbing other Balkan countries and bringing them back into NATO. And now NATO is right up on the border with Russia, and that's making Russia very, very nervous.
Of course, for good reason. NATO is nothing but a but the military arm of the New World Order, of globalists. And they're using us, they're using our troops, and Trump is falling right into this trap. He can't control these neocons. Maybe he doesn't want to control them. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. Now this thing with Afghanistan, it's a disgrace. I mean, we lost 4 more troops last week in Afghanistan. For what?
Yes.
They're not defending this country. They got to understand. See, soldiers,
for oil and opium, that's what they're dying for.
Certainly,
you know,
not
in Afghan fields, the poppies grow between the crosses, row on row.
And the same thing with his troops that got into Syria. They're not defending this country. Not at all. Yeah, I don't know who they're defending, but it isn't us. Maybe they're defending Israel. Maybe they're defending oil interests. Maybe both. I don't know. But they're not defending this country.
It's oil and Israel. I mean, the United States is not being attacked by anybody. I mean, every time they sell us one of these wars, they say, well, we could be attacked. You know, Iraq had nuclear weapons. They could have decided to just nuke us without warning. Really? It never made any sense. The United States has the world's largest nuclear arsenal. Nobody's going to attack us. Nobody's going to invade us except for those migrants down there at the fence there in San Diego. And
you know, I'm saying, I know you don't believe in this stuff. I kind of half believe it. But I think we're in far more danger if we're going to be attacked and invaded from people from another planet. I don't think that's going to happen. Don't get me wrong. But there's probably far more danger than that, than anybody's going to actually, any foreign military is going to try to attack the United States. But just as you said, tremendous nuclear arsenal, huge army, it's just not going to happen. And a big ocean separating us from any potential enemies. So it's just not going to, like I said, more of a chance that, I don't know, Martians or whatever, wherever other planet they might come from, attack not only the U.S., but other countries too. But
what do we have here on Earth that would be worth the time, trouble, and expense?
I don't know. I mean, if you ever watch Ancient Aliens, they believe, you know, that these people were here before. I don't know if that's really true or not. I mean, there are certain things they point out, but, you know, it is a pretty fertile planet. You don't know what they may have done to their own planet if there is another planet out there with people, but... You got a point there.
I'm absolutely convinced that the universe is filled with intelligent life and intelligent civilizations. I don't think we have anything they'd be interested in, because your society evolves with your technology, and to a culture that's capable of interstellar travel, you know, we'd look like a bunch of primitive natives with bones still poking through our noses. And you know, given the cost of coming here and then leaving again, there's really not much of anything we have, unless somebody gets like a scholarship to study our unique cultural history.
Or a warlike manner, you know?
That's the other problem. I mean, a visiting space alien has to realize they risk getting shot at if they get too close.
Supposedly it's happened already. I don't know true or not, but supposedly it happened. I mean, I watch this stuff sometimes on a history channel. As a matter of fact, talk about Russia with the Soviet Union. Supposedly, I believe in 1948-49, they knocked down they lost one of their planes too, but they knocked down a alien ship over some one of their secret bases.
Okay, whether
that's true or not,
Mark,
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I know you don't,
Mark,
believe that.
Yeah. Well, here, what you need to understand, Mark, is that United States propagandists created this whole alien flying saucer UFO thing as a cover for the development of Black Project aircraft. Project Blue Book was not there to record incidents of flying saucers, but to manufacture them. In fact, if you go back and look at the history of TV shows and movies that really push that idea of flying saucers and alien visitation, you find that they line up with the development and testing schedule of some of our most top secret aircraft, like the SR-71 and the F-117 and Half Blue and all the rest of those. And so the idea was very, very simple. If you're out there in the desert and something flashes by over your head, you know, you run into town and say, I just saw an alien spaceship. And you ignore that little hangar at the end of that little runway out there in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, well, you're probably right, Mike. You know, like I said, though, I don't totally discount this stuff either. Some of the stuff I've seen, they've shown, like, that another one was that base in Great Britain, a U.S. Air Force base in Great Britain, I believe in the 1980s. I forget the name of it. But supposedly these were security police, came on a alien ships.
Yeah, I have heard the story.
Yeah.
It's sensationalism for the sake of building an audience. Anyway, Mark, I want to get back to the news here because there's a lot of stuff going on. So thank you for the phone call. We're going to let you go. The phone lines are open again. And apparently Alaska's congressional delegation is now holding a news conference on the quake. And obviously they've been on the phone lines back to their home state getting the information. Apparently, some of the TV stations in the Anchorage area were literally knocked off the air, and they're just getting back online as well. So, anyway, like I said, our thoughts are with all those people. Okay, we're going to take another phone call. Peter in Los Angeles, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, I'm calling Mike today about the Netanyahu in Israel trying to institute the death penalty for the Palestinians, which I want to point out, they do not have a death penalty for themselves.
Yes.
They also do not have a death penalty. They will not extradite a criminal from Israel to a country that has the death penalty.
Yes.
I also want to point out that they have carried out for 70 years thousands of extrajudicial assassinations without any
yes.
trial whatsoever. They have indefinite detention, administrative detention, without any trial at all. They can keep you in jail forever. And almost all their laws, especially aimed at the Palestinians, are lumped into terrorism, some sort of terrorism law. Terrorism can be anything from Ahed Tamimi slapping that guy from after shooting her cousin in the face and coming into her yard. That could be terrorism. Anything could be terrorism, and anything will be open to Israel just killing them and having some sort of a legislative cover now and judicial cover. It's awful. You see what the settlers for doing real terrorism, beating people, killing people, setting them on fire. You know, nobody ever gets arrested for terrorism on that.
Nope.
But yet the Palestinians, they'll wipe out, 3,500, you know, in Gaza or something every couple of years or what have you. And it's far worse than anything the South Africans under the old Afrikaner regime had.
Yes.
You know, white phosphorus Soweto with F-16s and Apaches, you know. But the Israelis do that routinely. So this is really a step up in barbarity, even for them and their Jewish supremacists. Even for them, this is really, really stretching it.
Well, there have been unjust regimes throughout history here, and you're right. Israel has been carrying out executions of Palestinians. They just want to say, it's the law. It's okay for us to do this. So stop complaining about it. You know, stop criticizing us.
And they're hoping, Mike, that nobody will look at the fact that they don't execute their own people. Again, it's an apartheid, a special set of rules for the oppressed and the overlord supremacists, nothing at all for them. It's just, it really, you know, every day I get up and they hit me with something new. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. And I actually got an email once that said, why do you spend so much time, you know, talking about Israel? And I said, because they're doing so much that's bad.
You know what, Mike? I started listening to you right after 9/11. And, okay. You know, at first I thought, you know, for about the first 3 weeks, I bought the 9/11 story. And then I began to think about it, and I started to investigate it on the web, and I came across what really happened. And you and Justin Raimondo at the time were the only people with the stones big enough to confront this. And I've been hooked on you ever since. So, I mean, it's so, like the guy from CNN who came out the other day, and now he's gone, right? I mean,
yes.
into the netherworld now. But it's just, that's how I came to, because I know what kind of courage it takes to confront this. And yeah. You're one of a very few, a small handful. So.
Well, thank you for those kind words.
But it's not kind words, Mike. That's a freaking fact, man. But anyway, listen, I'll let you go. I just wanted to hear what your take was on this, if you could develop a little further on that death penalty thing. So, but I got to sign off. I got to pick up my little girl.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the phone call. And it's amazing. We're in this kind of very almost twilight zone where Israel supporters are out there saying, don't criticize them. Don't equate them, you know, with the Nazis. You know, don't say they're apartheid. And yet every day the government of Israel takes another step in those very directions. All right. Now, the U.S. State Department is basically warning that the United States will not hesitate to use military force against Iran in order to coerce their compliance with whatever it is they're going to ask Iran to do next. And of course, there's nothing new. The U.S. has been threatening to attack Iran for decades now. Now, the threats had calmed down with the P5+1 nuclear deal, but with the deal basically thrown in the shredder by the Trump administration, the old status quo has come back. Sanctions and threats. And it's because the United States needs Iran to sell their oil only for the dollar. The private central bankers want Iran enslaved to a private central bank. Iran has a public bank and a value-based currency. And Israel wants another regional rival broken up into little tiny pieces like happened to Iraq. So, over in the United Nations, the British government tried to put forward a resolution calling for a Yemen ceasefire, and it was blocked by heavy lobbying from Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, the chief participants in the war. The resolution would have called for a halt to fighting in the vital aid port of Hodeidah. Now, Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman was very public in his opposition to the ceasefire, with British officials saying he threw a fit about their proposal, saying it weakened the Saudi position on the war. Now, here in the United States, there was an attempt to pass a resolution limiting the United States' involvement in the war in Yemen. And at least five of the 37 Republican senators who voted against that bill received campaign contributions from pro-Saudi lobbying groups. The finest government that money can buy. Roy Blount, John Boozman, Richard Burr, Mike Crapo, and Tim Scott all received financial contributions from firms representing Saudi interests between 2016 and 2017, according to the Center for International Policy. And all five Republicans voted on Wednesday against advancing the resolution, which, if passed, would have forced the United States to limit its support for the Saudi-UAE war in Yemen. All right. Now, we've been talking about over. Well, actually, we're coming up here on another commercial break. So we'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. I was just looking online at some of the videos of the protesters down there at the G20, and it's quite large, clearly organized, very peaceful, at least so far here. Still keeping tabs on the Alaskan earthquake, and I guess Anchorage is going to take years to recover from it. But you know, if you live someplace like that, it's a risk you accept. When Claire and I lived in Southern California, it was a risk we had to accept, and we went through a couple of really big quakes ourselves, especially the Northridge quake. Alrighty, getting on back to the international news. We've been talking about over in France, the riots against the government over fuel tariffs, various other issues. It's starting to turn out there's a lot of things the French people are angry about. And it's become what's called the Yellow Vest protest, because it's apparently sort of like their symbol. The yellow jackets have become a symbol of the protest in France. Now it's taking off in Brussels. And it got really kind of ugly. And the police had to disperse the riots with water cannons and tear gas. So what is going on here? How did this leap from France to Brussels, to Belgium? Well, many moons ago, I made the observation that this push to create a global government was actually creating the political climate for a global revolution. And this may be the beginning of it. This may be the beginning of all of Europe's working class people standing up and saying, no more, we are done. No more open borders, no more of this tinkering with our lives, with all this liberalism. Revolutions can come out of nowhere and happen very fast. I don't want to see it happen, but it does seem like neither side is willing to back down. People who want freedom, they want the right to live their lives the way that they choose versus ever encroaching government. We're seeing it all over Europe. We're seeing it here. Anyway, let's see. China is very concerned about Japan, which has just signed an order for the F-35 in stealth jets, including the ones that can do vertical takeoff and landing. And this might encourage Japan to convert some of their carriers to these fighter jets. Now, since the end of World War II, Japan's military has been constrained to be a self-defense unit. And apparently, Tokyo has now decided to modify an aircraft carrier. Actually, it's a helicopter carrier to carry the F-35, the fighter jets. This move would put Japan back in the power projection business in a way it hasn't been since 1944. We'll be back after station identification.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.